He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen, and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Thursday. Hey, Joel, so we're sitting down here. We had it open. We got to scratch it. Floyd Mayweather just sent out a message. I think it was on social media. It might have been a tweet. He tells Conor McGregor, sign the paper. And it just makes me... Here's the first question. Is there a paper? Is there actually... Floyd Mayweather, not for nothing, but he is a dummy. I mean, if you took a box of rocks versus Floyd Mayweather, it would be a toss-up on which is more stupid. And is there actually a paper to sign? I can remember a time when Frank Shamrock was trying to put a fight together with Cesar Gracie, and Frank faxed him something that said, like, Frank Shamrock will fight Cesar Gracie. And then he faxed it. There was no date. There was no promotion. There was no offer. There was no weight class. There was no anything. And Frank was serious. He's like, yeah, Cesar won't sign the contract. And then Cesar held up the contract. And everybody's going, Frank, this isn't a contract. So it just, that's where my mind went. But I stand by the question, is there an offer? And if so, who did it come from? Who is Floyd to make an offer? Did he do it on behalf of the money team and he's going to be the promoter? Is Showtime or any network behind this? Do they have a date? Do they have a venue? Is there anything to actually sign when Floyd comes out and says, sign the paper? What paper?
Listen, let me tell you something. The one thing we've heard Mayweather pushing this fight in the last 10 days to a week, last 2 weeks, boy, Dana's went silent. So there's some things going on. One of the great things about...
But now that's speculative, isn't it? I mean, is the fact that Dana went silent maybe because there's just nothing going on here? I mean, he's come out and he's been pretty clear that, hey, that this fight isn't happening. I realize things can change and there's gamesmanship. But when Floyd says, sign the paper...
Listen,
who exactly is the...
The best part of the Wednesday show is we've got so much content. We can go on for hours about what, especially when you have a big pay-per-view like they had last weekend. So I had all these notes. I had all these notes yesterday, and I didn't get to them. I didn't even read them. Here's one of my notes. Roy Jones Jr. met with UFC officials last week to discuss a possible boxing match against Anderson Silva. As soon as I read that, I said the Conor Mayweather fight's going to happen. They're the Alphabet, the new company that owns the UFC, they're all about entertainment. They're an entertainment company. This is what they do. They're going to make that Conor fight. It's going to happen pretty quick. I say it happens. I say they announce that fight in the next 30 days, and it's going to open up a trick box. Okay? One of the trick boxes is now the MMA fighters are going to, it's all about money, man. It's all about money, and it's prize fighting. You fight for the prize. Man, do you want to see Anderson box Roy Jones Jr.? Yeah, 10 years ago, 8 years ago. Now, I don't, but based on that information, I do. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Man, let me jump in here. I'm so goddamn embarrassed for these guys. In the history of my lifetime, Joel, I've never seen anybody pine for a co-main event. In the history of my time in this sport or on planet Earth, I've never seen somebody come out and market and push and beg to jerk a curtain for somebody. I would not do it myself, ever. It wouldn't matter what the paycheck or the opportunity was. My ego would get in the way, and I'm not going to come out and open for anybody. Now, sometimes you get put on that card, and you be a good little soldier, and you go do what needs to be done. But I am not going to go to the media as Roy Jones Jr. and the legacy that he had and the greatest boxer of the decade of the night. You can argue the greatest boxer of this time and that time. Nobody will dispute he was the greatest boxer of an entire decade. Then you're going to bring in Anderson Silva, who I've always said is overrated, but who cares? I could be wrong. Who cares if I say he's overrated? He's a great. And they're going to go out and they're going to pine to jerk the curtain for a 27-year-old kid from Ireland? I would never, ever do that. And it embarrasses me that they would do it. Now, I strongly disagree with half of what you said. I have been on the bandwagon from Jump Street that Floyd versus Connor happens. And whether the alphabet puts it on or they sign off and they let somebody, however that plays out, if those two want to fight, you let them go fight. But for Floyd to act like he's got some kind of a contract, I mean, to tell you how stupid Floyd Mayweather is, if you go listen to him, it's unbelievable. And in the world of bluffs, it's annoying for me too. Floyd, if you got so much stroke and you got so much money and you got this big promotion going, then you could get airtime on SportsCenter today with one phone call. So why don't you go on and show us your cards? Hold up the goddamn contract. Show us what venue you got booked. Let us know what ticketing company you're doing business with. Show us the contract that all Connor has to do is sign. And if you're so damn powerful, then go buy his contract out. Go get a deal done. Don't come to the table and act like you're anything if you can't go and negotiate. If you can't go into a boardroom and come out with your way, even if you got to write a check or cut another guy in or whatever it is you have to do from a business standpoint to get a damn deal done. So he wants to come out and say, sign the paper. I will ask you for the third time, what paper? What sheet of paper? What is the date that he's proposing? Who is the promoter? In what city and what venue? What are the person? Give us some parameters. What is it that Connor is supposed to sign? What is it that Floyd is pretending has been offered? Joel, you'll see this all the way. You know, it's infuriating me right now. We're seeing this in politics right now with Trump and this whole Russia angle. It's like, listen, somebody call somebody else bluff. Okay, if Trump's lying about Russia, if they influenced our election, he's going to be impeached. It's going to cost him his job. So Trump, come out and just tell whatever senator that wants to take the charge and can make factless and baseless. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead.
Phrases are hard.
If you're going to make some kind of factless and baseless claim, there we got it on the third try. Trump should tell a senator, whichever one of you wants to do this, put your job on the line. If any one of you thinks that there's some kind of Russian conspiracy and you're going to go run the world and tell all your constituents and tell the country and tell these news shows that there is, let's have an investigation and I'll put my job on the line versus your job. If there was one and I've lied to the American people, I'm done. But if you're lying, Mr. Senator, and you're coming out with no proof, then you're done. But it's this world of bluffing, and it creates these talks. And I will guarantee you, Floyd doesn't have a contract. Floyd is an idiot in a nice suit with a bunch of money. That's the bottom line. They asked him the other day, you know, give us some financial advice. And Floyd went into, like, businessman mode. Like, he could give financial advice. Like, Floyd, you don't sign the front of paychecks. You sign the back of paychecks. The smart guy signed the front. And you signed the back. So Floyd stepped up and he gave the advice. And he says, buy real estate. So the guy asks him the follow-up question. Well, what should you do with real estate? To which Floyd has absolutely no answer. He couldn't spell lease. He couldn't tell you the difference from commercial to residential. He had no idea. And Floyd says, I got about $1.2 billion in my portfolio for real estate. So the guy says, oh, what should I buy? Where? And Floyd, I mean, he's dumbfounded. He doesn't know what to say. And Floyd says, well, you know, get some advice from people and then try. I mean, he gives some answer that just tells you how stupid he is. And I'm telling you right now, if he's going to be Mr. Businessman, but he can't work out a deal with Dana. I mean, Dana and Floyd live exactly 8 miles from one another. It's not like this is some hard guy to reach. Pop into the office and get a deal done or zip it. Just admit that you made it big in this space by signing the back of paychecks. That's a great way to go. It's a great gig if you can get it. But the smart guy signed the front of them, Floyd. So when you're telling Connor or anybody else to sign the paper, I'm going to ask you for a fourth time. What paper? Who authorized it, and what are the terms? What is it supposedly he's not signing? And then you want to talk about Floyd and Roy Jones. You said you didn't want to see those guys fight. I'd love to see them fight. I'll watch that fight today. But that isn't going to happen. If Dana's going to throw his golden goose into boxing, he knows he's going to take some lumps. This is what the whole thing's about. Listen, how big of damage are we going to take if he goes in and gets cleaned up by Floyd? And that's a decision for him to make. I look at it, I don't think any. You're taking Connor, putting him into a world where he is supposed to fail. If he meets those expectations, which he should and will very quickly, I don't really know what you're out. But I could be missing that. I could be missing that. So you weigh the value that hurts Connor versus what you can get from Floyd, and you make your decision from there, right? It's pretty simple. If I'm the promoter, I'm not going to take two lumps in one night. Even if Chael's right on this and Connor's stock doesn't drop, he goes into a world that he doesn't belong in, he gets cleaned up like he should, I'm not going to lose two guys in one night. Roy Jones is going to touch up Anderson, and Floyd's going to touch up Connor, and they had better. And there shouldn't even be a debate. The fact that there's a debate is a discredit and an embarrassment to boxing. I come from the world of amateur wrestling. You could not bring me a guy, I don't give a goddamn how good an athlete he is, if that's not what he does, and you're going to put him against our best, our current and reigning best, he's going to get dusted as quick as a scoreboard can tally those points and that referee could step in and pull him off and send you back to his corner. And the fact that there are people debating this topic isn't an insult just to Floyd. It's an insult to the entire sport, reputation, and legacy of boxing. It is one of the biggest insults I've ever seen this sport face. And boxers have not come out in droves and protested this match. Boxers have not come out and gone, man, this is a joke. We laugh at this anytime they want to do it. Anything that you would say if you're sure of your guy. Even the insiders in boxing haven't done that. Even Teddy Atlas has weighed in and go, well, you know, there's some stuff there that Connor could do. You've had big-time boxing guys like Max Kellerman come out and say, well, you know, there is ways with Connor's defensive measures where Connor could make it 12 rounds and Floyd will win all 12 rounds and Floyd will dominate him. I'm looking at it going, you're telling me that a guy who's never boxed could take on the biggest hero that you guys have and you guys are going to concede out of the gate that this goes the distance? That is an embarrassment, an absolute travesty of an embarrassment to your sport. You will never meet a black belt in karate that will admit a black belt in taekwondo is better. They will defend their sport to the bitter end. And you've got guys in boxing that are willing to concede right now. Some are saying Connor could beat him. And the vast majority are saying Connor could go with him? That is humiliating.
Yeah, Mayweather has just as much of a chance to win an MMA fight against Connor as Connor has to win a boxing
he
match.
He should. That's the way it should be. What you just said is so blatantly clear and obvious, but for some reason, Joel, while we make that claim, the boxing world and the boxing insiders aren't. We saw what happened when they sent a guy over to boxing. His name was James Toney. James Toney's a stud. He made it less, was it 2 minutes? Did he even make it 2 minutes in MMA? That's as long as he should have made it. And frankly, it might be about 90 seconds more than he should have made it. But he was dominated from start, as he should have been. That's not a knock on James Toney. It's a different sport. John Jones, just for fun, went and arm wrestled the world's strongest man. The guy toyed with him and then beat him. Well, of course the guy beat him at arm wrestling. It's not what John does. You can't bring in one of our athletics, GSP. He's going to go play one-on-one against LeBron James. It doesn't work that way. It's laughable and it's a joke. But for some reason, boxing's not laughing. Boxing's a little bit worried about it. I've always held boxers to the highest standard when it comes to striking, that you guys are the dominant force. But to find out that boxing isn't holding themselves to that standard, finding out that the boxing community, one, is conceding that Connor could go with him, and two, some of them are saying he can beat him, it makes me rethink my appreciation to the sweet science. It makes me think, man, do I have this wrong? Is this not this great of a pugilistic sport as I thought that it was? I still think it is. I still think Floyd runs over him. But the fact that Floyd isn't completely sure and $25 million isn't enough for him to go prove his point, that Floyd's holding this, he wants to come out and tell Connor to sign the contract. What contract, Floyd? Go on SportsCenter right now. Show us the contract that some business entity has agreed to, and then flip to the last page and show us where you've signed, Floyd. The bottom line is there is no offer, there is no agreement, and you're a dummy, and you live 8 miles away from the guy that can make this happen, and I don't think you've gone down and sat down with him, because you're too stupid.
Dummy. Hey, listen, I love it when you get fired up about boxing.
I love it when I lay out a promo and you have nothing to say on the back end of it.
I do right now. Dude, if you think that fires you up, Floyd Mayweather just came out and told Connor to sign the paper.
I see what you did there. I'm going to tell you about something that's got a lot more shot than seeing any of these knuckleheads actually getting on a card. All right, and I can tell you there is a lot of change and uncertainty in the country right now. And when it comes to your retirement portfolio and life savings, you don't want it all sitting in the stock market. You want to diversify it. Do what I do. Look into richuncles.com. Rich Uncles is a REIT, real estate investment trust. They own commercial property. They collect rent from the best creditworthy tenants, and then they pay you a monthly cash dividend, currently 7% annualized dividend. Rich Uncles is ideal for IRAs, and it's a great way to diversify your investment portfolio and add a steady income. RichUncles.com was recently featured in the Wall Street Journal. You can read that article and get all the information you need to make an informed decision at richuncles.com. Like any investment, it has its risks. It's not guaranteed. Rich Uncles is a Reg A Tier 2 offering. Go to richuncles.com. That's richuncles.com or call 855-RICH-UNCLES. Let Rich Uncles know you heard about them from this podcast. You're welcome.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent in response, will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
Do you agree with all of the points that I made? I mean, what about Roy Jones and Anderson Silva begging to jerk a curtain for a 27-year-old kid out of Ireland? I mean, why is that not getting anywhere?
Man, listen.
Why would they think if Uncle Dana's not going to sign off on the main event, that he would sign off on the co-main event?
Listen, let me tell you what needs to happen here. Have the baby. Don't keep telling me about the baby. Have the baby, guys. Either sign this fight and get it done with, or stop talking about it, because the fight's a circus. Both of them are.
It's not as simple as signing the fight. This is the point, though. There is nothing to sign. There is no offer made. There is no network. I'm using Showtime by example just because that's who Floyd's been with for years. Now, he had a six-fight deal with Showtime and the MGM Grand. Both of those are now gone. He fulfilled it. So he is a free agent. He could go somewhere. But the first thing of the piece that Floyd needs is a network. And he's got this The Money team. They're pretending to be promoters. They never promoted a goddamn thing. All he does is wait for Oscar De La Hoya or Bob Arum or Dana White, somebody that actually knows how to do it, and then he bullies his way into getting TMT putting up on there. The Money team's not real. The Money team does not have a network deal. They don't have a partner to get on pay-per-view. They aren't promoting fights. The Money team sits back, drives around ridiculous vans that say TMT all over them and act like they're contributing to the boxing world, and they haven't contributed a goddamn thing. They have their hand in the pot like a true scumbag that can't go out there and produce anything, that doesn't have any capital, any bank account, or any connections. They wait for Golden Boy or Bob Arum or Don King or somebody that knows what they're doing to come forward with all of the risk, and then they bully their name onto these contracts, and in exchange, they get a little banner and they get a little name recognition in the ring. They're not real. And it's important that this finally comes out. Floyd can box. Floyd is as stupid as the boots that I'm wearing right now, and it's infuriating to keep hearing about him, and I'm calling him out right now. I know Floyd. Floyd could text me right now. He's not going to text me after this show drops and say, hey, let me come on. Whoa, you're way off. You're way off base here. I got a contract, and we got an offer, and here's the numbers and the dates, and here's where we're going to do it, and people can start making their travel arrangements. There's not a goddamn thing out there. And for Roy Jones to go, I'm buddies with Roy, too. Roy's not going to text me either. Roy, you're the boxer of the 90s. You're now begging to be a co-main event? You want to jerk the curtain for a kid? Come on, man.
Listen, the only thing that needs it, we think this world's so big.
I don't care where I'm at on the card. I just want to be part of it. Somebody let me be in the dressing room. Come on, man.
GSP dragged the last year out coming back. He wanted to come back the whole time. And it took a phone call from Freddie Roach to get the thing going. All that needs to happen with the Floyd thing is that 8 miles. Pick a spot 4 miles between Dana's house and the Money's house. Go have dinner with all the people there and get this thing done.
Don't pick anything.
Have the baby.
Don't pick anything.
The baby.
Go to the office.
Have the baby.
Check in at reception. Say, my name is Floyd and I'm here to see Dana. If he doesn't let you write up, which I trust that he will, he respects Floyd. Sure he does. He'd probably like to hang out with Floyd and have lunch with him. But even if he was in a meeting, camp out and don't leave the lobby. Do not leave the lobby until Dana meets with you or until security removes you. That's how you get this done. You don't need to have, you know, anytime you hear Floyd talk, well, my people will call your, shut up, Floyd. Man, I've known you for 8 years. You've got one guy. Okay, you don't have a team of guys. You got a guy, and he's very good at what he does. But if you're the promoter and you're the money team and you're going to get this done, drive down to the office, park your car, walk up to the door and open it. When you see the girl inside, tell her your name and then say, I'd like to see Dana White. Go in and talk to Dana and ask Dana, hey, Dana, I heard you said in the media this fight's not going to happen. How do I change your mind? Get a conversation going. And then don't leave Dana's office. Hey, Dana, we're going to get this done, and I'm going to stay here until we do or until security removes me. Either way is okay, but that's how serious I'm about this. Let's get this done. He's in the fight game, in the fight capital of the world, and you can't get it done. You want to come out and say, Connor, sign the paper. What paper?
What paper?
What is the paper
Where
in question?
Where is the paper?
What do you have, then?
Why are you so irritated?
Because I can tell when I talk to you that you also don't know how the fight business works. And it stuns me when people don't understand. Well, we got these two guys that want to fight. It's not as simple as that. Where are they going to fight at? Are they going to go in a backyard like Tank Abbott and Scott Ferozzo? No, they're going to go into an arena with a set date, with tickets that are on sale, and with some kind of partner for distribution. They're going to have a marketing plan. They're going to have a team behind them. The money team isn't real, and a lot of people don't know that. There isn't actually a promotion company that has ever done a goddamn bit of business, has a bank account, has capital, has partners, has anything in place to make a mega fight. They aren't real. Golden Boy is. Bob Arum is. Don King is. They could make the fight. All of these guys can make the fight. Then what the money team does is they bully their way into a co-promote, but they don't bring anything to the table. It's not as though, okay, hey, we're going to co-promote, and here's the distribution networks I have. I'm in Asia. I'm throughout the Middle East. I have this part of the Soviet bloc locked down. So let's team up with your part over here in North America and South America, and let's do a co-promote. It's not real. And any promoter that had any balls would just tell them no. Hey, we want to be a co-promote. Okay, what are you willing to risk? How much money are you willing to risk? What partners are you going to bring to the table? Well, nothing, but I have Floyd Mayweather. Oh, okay, well, I got Floyd, and I'm going to pay him X amount of money. What is it you're going to bring in? And these promoters lay down so that they can say, well, we got Floyd. The money team isn't a real promotion company. They don't have anything in place, and they can't do anything.
Dude, you can chop off the tip of my finger if we can just quit talking about this. Please. Please, cut it. Now.
What do you got?
Well, I tell you who I am excited about. I'm going to start doing a thank you. I want to thank Michael Bisping. We're in the second show of the week, and we're not talking about the guy who stole the weekend, which was Michael Bisping, at the showing up late and half in the bag to the GSP press conference and saying, hey, little guy, I'm going to beat you up.
I had no interest in that fight. I'll tune in and watch it, and that's where it goes. After that press conference, I now want to see that fight. Michael Bisping did his job. I like the way he came at George. I like that he was half in the bag, if that's true, and I believe that it was. I liked his vigor. I liked his anger. I liked everything about it, and I will agree with you. He stole the weekend.
Well, thank you. Thank you for agreeing with me. I fell asleep three times while you were talking about Floyd Mayweather and signing the paper. Michael Bisping is the guy that I was talking about, that the top of the food chain. Michael Bisping has been fighting killers his entire career, and he's the world champ right now. He's that rare guy that has extended the envelope from 4 years to 12. He told GSP, just like it was, it's like, listen, you're 170-pounder. GSP started talking about all the guys he beat. He mentioned BJ Penn, who was an animal. He was a 155-pound champ. Bisping, in that press conference, changed my opinion. I said, you know what? GSP can come down and come out and win this fight. That press conference alone changed my mind. He said, I'm going to big brother you.
GSP can win the fight? Or do you mean then Bisping made you think he could win the fight?
Bisping made me believe he can win the fight.
All right. And in your mind, that's more interesting, the fact that Anderson Silva and Roy Jones Jr. are begging to be a co-main event?
Dude, you talked about signing the paper for 20 minutes. 20 minutes. You signed, and you did great. You did great. You went on a tangent. You could make anything sound good. You could make a fight with this NOS bottle and this phone interesting to me. And you made that interesting to 500,000 people. But now I had to jerk the curtain and say, yeah, he got all twisted because Floyd said sign the paper.
I find it surprising that you don't find it a need to call him out that there is no paper. That Floyd Mayweather, as much as he wants to pretend he's a promoter like Oscar De La Hoya, he's not.
Listen,
Floyd doesn't take any risk. Floyd doesn't put up any money. Floyd doesn't have any partners. It's not a real promotion company.
I'm going to make you a deal. I'm going to go
to Floyd wants to go, hey, Dana, let's get my people and your people together, and we'll promote this. Floyd, you don't promote anything, and you never have.
I'm going to go to the
Dana's
kitchen.
Dana's been around since this is just a reality. He's been around since 2001, and he's taken a lot of risk. Floyd's never taken any risk. Floyd doesn't make money. Floyd spends money. And he's an idiot, and I've just about had it. And I think where my real vigor comes from is that an icon like Roy Jones would beg to be a co-main. In my life, I've never heard that. Now, if you were a normal person, you would take my cues and jump on this with me and go, wow, I had never thought about that. Yeah, I guess, let me think of a fight that the money team promoted. They were behind and you go, wow, you're really right, Chael. It takes a lot to put on a fight. It's not as simple as signing a paper.
I'm going to the
And then you'd go, yeah,
commissary.
You know what? Now that you say that, I've never heard two guys go to the media before and ask if they could be a co-main event. What a normal guy would do
No,
you left me out there by myself.
You
I made
should
these
be
perfectly
there,
good
but
points,
I tell you what
and
I'm
you're like,
do.
Wow, chop off my finger.
That's where I'm going to go.
I'd like to chop
I'll
off
be
your
right
finger.
I'll be right back. I'm going to go find a knife in that place that I steal the Red Bulls from, and if they have a knife, I'm going to let you chop off my finger when we get back.
I actually hate blood. The mere thought of chopping off your finger would be gross. No, I don't want anything. Go. Okay, he actually walked out of the room. I don't think he's finding a knife, but he walked out of the room. The point is still valid, though. I'm going to harp on it a fifth time. There is no paper. I literally remember the time when Frank Shamrock, who was trying to fight Cesar Gracie at the time, went to the media and said that Cesar wouldn't sign the contract. Cesar then came out with the contract that had just mysteriously come across his fax machine one day. Nobody even knows how Frank got the fax machine number. He faxed him a piece of paper that said Frank Shamrock will fight Cesar Gracie, and then there was a place to sign. It didn't have a date. It didn't have a weight class. It didn't have the terms. Nothing else was on it. Floyd doesn't even have that. Floyd hasn't even scribbled out a piece of paper that said, Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor, sign here. He doesn't even have that. There is no paper. And the money team isn't real. And for all you boxing marks out there that are going, oh my God, the money team's not a real promoter. No, they're not real. M1 Global tried to do this with the UFC one time. They tried to bring in Fedor Emelianenko, and they said the only way that we'll do it is if we're a co-promoter. And the UFC said, well, we don't co-promote. And the UFC left it at that. The UFC should have put them on blast and said, you guys don't bring anything to the table. They should have said, all right, guys, well, this fight's going to cost $40 million, so let's set up an LLC. We'll put $20 million in today. You put your $20 million in, and we can go co-promote this thing. Hey, guys, we actually have some problems over in Asia right now. We don't have any partners over there. Do you guys? Is that what you can bring to the table so that we can co-do this together? Well, no. Okay, well, what is it you guys are going to bring? Well, we've got Fedor. Okay, so you're not bringing anything. I get to pay Fedor. I get to take all the risks to bringing him in. And then you guys are co-promoting. You get back-end money? Well, yeah. Well, that doesn't make you a promoter. That makes you a bully that's come to me with a ridiculous idea and hoped I was dumb enough to do it. And a lot of guys are dumb enough. You see the money team all over boxing fights. What you guys don't know is they're not real promoters. They don't have anything. They don't have a stable of guys under contract. They don't have distribution anywhere, and they damn sure don't have any capital. They've taken absolutely no risk. Floyd Mayweather signs the back of paychecks, and he just happened to make it. Good for him. But if you want to get any kind of advice in the fight world, don't go to Floyd. All he knows to do is sign a contract, show up, and box. He did a good job at it. But he is not Oscar De La Hoya, no matter how bad he wants to be. He doesn't have an office anywhere. If you want to meet with Floyd, you can't call up and schedule an appointment with his secretary. He doesn't have one. It's not real. Floyd's an idiot, and so's Joel for not getting it. Joel, you still don't even get what I'm talking about.
Listen, I wasn't really going to get a knife. I was going to get something to drink.
We weren't really about to chop your finger off?
Where I steal Red Bulls.
Well, I'm glad you disclosed that. I really thought we were going to.
Hold on, this is pretty big, bro. So I couldn't steal the Red Bull. The place was full of people, but on the way back, I found this paper. Maybe that is the paper that he needs to sign.
It looks like you took this out of a recycling bin. Yes, this would have the same value as whatever the paper Floyd has referenced is.
I love how mad you get at me for, I don't, again.
I get mad because you don't understand the business of it. That is a little bit weird to me. You know, so many people come in and think, well, if you have the two big fighters, you're going to have this big fight. No, you're not. The right guy has to promote it. You could put a quarter pounder with cheese out there anywhere in the world. McDonald's can sell the thing. It's not as simple as having two fights. And I'm not sure Floyd even understands that. He is such a dum-dum that has stumbled into such incredible success. The only thing you don't want from Floyd is to have him talk about anything with any kind of meaning. Because then you just get disappointed. You just go, man, there's nothing here. This guy never cracked a textbook. This guy just simply went into the gym every day. And boy, is he a genius at that. But he's an idiot. And hearing him come out and say, sign the paper, having you not weigh in on the fact that two guys are fighting for a co-main event, any normal person's response would have been like, oh my God, you just blew my mind. You're right. How embarrassing. That's what a normal guy would say. You instead say, oh, here, cut off my finger.
I think that was an appropriate answer.
Have you ever seen two guys fight for a co-main event spot?
I don't care, but let's stay on this. Let's stay on this MMA.
No, here,
boxing
let's do this thing. Instead. Let's have you read whatever is in your notes, and let the fans decide. What's more interesting, that two legends of the sport went to battle over a fight they can't win to be on a co-main event of a show that does not even exist versus, go ahead.
Listen, dummy. Here's where you let the fans decide.
Yeah,
here's the problem with fame. Fame's stupid. And there's no bigger proof of how stupid fame is than the van ride from hell on the way back from San Jose. Those two kids, Ryan and Jake, would have ran that van into a river if you said do it. So don't tell me to tell the fans to listen to see what's more important, or Joel's not mad, or he's not normal, or he's a buffoon. Let's just go ahead and stay on this MMA guys being boxers for a minute.
The topic I offered the fans was two legends fighting to be a co-main event of a card that doesn't exist versus the topic you want, which is
Nate Diaz has said that boxing promoters are making him offers to buy out his UFC contract. So now, Nate Diaz, who just made more money in the last year fighting Conor twice in a cage, now he wants to be a boxer.
Yeah, listen, for all the fighters to understand this right out of the gate, okay, there's three promoters in the world: Don King, Bob Arum, and Golden Boy. Your sport does not exist without those three. There is nobody with a bank account, with a distribution, and that can go out and put on a fight. There is nobody else. So for any fighter who got some big league promoter to come to the table and say, we will buy you out, if their name is not Oscar De La Hoya, if it's not Don King, and it's not Bob Arum, you have a fake offer. And for any MMA guy that wants to go to boxing, More power to you, but where in the world did boxing become the end game? What is it that boxing is doing so well that you want to go over there and do that? And I'm open to the answer. I'm not against you, but I've been around this sport for a long time. I've been on every single side of this business there is. Okay? If you have somebody that got a hold of you or came and sat down with you, and now they're throwing out that this, hey, I'm the guy with the big balls that can make things happen, but my name happens to not be Oscar, Bob, or Don, you have a fake charlatan standing in front of you. Oscar, Bob, and Don are too smart to come in and offer to buy out somebody's contract to come over to a sport where they don't have a proven history in. They would not make a deal like that. But I'm sure there is some carnival worker somewhere that found out he can get in front of you and to get you to take his phone calls has thrown out a ridiculous straw man claim like, I'll buy you out. Those guys don't have any more money, any more stroke, or any more balls in this space than the money team, which has no stroke, no balls, and no money in this space. And it's just important that people understand that. This is why commissions exist, Joel, because charlatans and carnival workers came into boxing many, many years ago and corrupted the thing to a level that commissions and government agencies had to get involved. There is no government agency that oversees sport of any kind except in this space, because it's crooked and backwards. And we've done away with that for so many years. We now have good, honorable men like Scott Coker and like Dana White with good, honorable companies like Fox and like Spike behind them. So we don't have to deal with the dirty crooks that have been promoting boxing for all these years. And when I see my fellow MMA guys who've made it to the brighter, greener side of the pasture that comes with some level of integrity and responsibility and a history behind it of over 20 years of doing business the right way, now saying we want to go back to the dirty, corrupt carnival workers. Oh, and by the way, somebody offered to buy out my UFC contract. Do they even know what it is? Do they even know the number? Because if they do and they want to continue the conversation, let's have them just put 20% of that number into an escrow account today. 20% of your buyout for any fighter. Let's just have this carnival worker write a check today and stick it into an escrow account. Fully refundable. He can get every cent of his money back. But let's just see that he's even got 20% of it, because he doesn't. Don, Bob, and Oscar are the only three guys.
You almost forgot Oscar.
That run boxing. They're the only three guys with distribution, with a track record, and above everything else, with capital. And if you have an offer that isn't coming from one of them, you don't have an offer.
Emotion is everything, brother. Listen, man, I've been watching you on this rant for... Jesus. You've been on this rant for 36 minutes. You are pure genius.
Trying to achieve one thing.
At its best.
I'm trying to achieve one thing. One, to educate you, who I would think would know something about the business. I don't mean to throw stones at you, but I mean, come on, man. You don't know anything about the business. I mean, I hear people say this all the time. Well, all you need is the two best fighters. No, you don't, man. You have to have distribution behind it. You have to have marketing behind it. Floyd and Conor could be fighting right this second for all anybody knows. Do you get the point? If they are and if they were, it brings in no money.
Listen,
you have to have the right promoters behind it. Sign the paper. What paper, Floyd?
40 minutes. I'm mesmerized by you right now, because you took that and you ran a marathon with it, and you kept me entertained. I said I was going to cut my finger off. I probably wouldn't have done that. I would have rather stole the Red Bull. Can we talk about fighting for a second, please?
Yeah, man. Please. Talk about whatever. Go ahead.
Darren Elkins versus Mursad Bektik.
Did you try to read that slow and clumsy, or could you not say Mursad Bektik versus Darren Elkins? You just couldn't remember it. One of the greatest fights that we've seen. Definitely the fight of the weekend. Fight of the night, comeback of the night, harder than any possible compliment that you could ever give applies to that fight. I, of course, was talking about something else, but this is what you are now offering to the fans. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm talking about one of the best comebacks, and the biggest long shot on the card last week was Darren Elkins, and he came back and stopped a 7-1 favorite. What, 45 seconds left in the fight?
Yeah.
Amazing fight.
Absolutely amazing. And if you don't know their names and the comeback and the story and the long shot and the odds and all the wonderful things about it, go back to yesterday and listen to Your Welcome, where we covered all of that. Today's Thursday. Joel?
Sign the paper.
So this is what you've offered to get in the way of what I was offering. Listen, if you're ever going to go into a battle and anything in business, and you're going to take it public, you're going to let everybody know about it, you need to win that battle. For Roy Jones to go in publicly and try to get a fight with Anderson Silva, a battle that he's going to lose because he's not going to get it. First off, right there, it's like, Roy, who's advising you? Don't go into anything and advertise your failures ahead of time. So, Roy, if you really think you're going to get that fight, haven't you done the math to see Connor's going to get cleaned up in the main should this happen? You're going to clean up Anderson in the co-main, and Dana White isn't likely to want to take two hits in one night. Secondly, you're trying to get a co-main spot. That's embarrassing, man.
Keep talking about it.
It's embarrassing, though. You don't go out and advertise your fail. I see people driving around with bumper stickers of elections that happened two cycles ago, and the guys lost. It's like, really? You want to advertise when you didn't win? And then after your guys got outvoted, you keep that on your car. You just want everybody to know, I supported the losing ticket. So he's coming out and he's begging to be number two on a card that doesn't exist, on a date that hasn't been set, in a venue that hasn't been secured, with a promoter who's never promoted anything, the Money Team.
Two favors if you can push this bet eight more minutes. Eight more minutes for two favors. I don't think you can do it.
I'm after something that I'm not. I'm not sure what I'm after myself. I think what I'm after is for you to understand. For you, Joel, to understand how absurd that whole thing is. Nobody in the history of time has pined to be number two.
Hey, what is it? You're.
But when you're pining to be number two and that's the best you can get, I respect it. I like a guy that comes back and gets a bronze medal. If you get beat in the regular bracket and the best you can come back and get is third, I respect it, but the card doesn't exist. You're having a meeting with Dana White to be a co-main event of a card that doesn't exist.
Dude, you're 8 minutes away from this being the show. You're a political guy.
Do you understand
isn't that,
though?
A filibuster when you just... Who does the filibuster? The guys in the Senate that grab the microphone and they got to talk for 3 hours. Keep going with this. You've got this. You're 8 minutes away from two favors. 8 minutes, buddy. 8 minutes to talk about the paper and the business.
Okay, well, let's imagine this then. So let's imagine this meeting with Roy and Dana that's going down, that Dana took purely out of respect to Roy Jones Jr., okay? So you're Roy, and you're sitting there pitching this Anderson fight. And if you're Dana, you know, you kind of got to feel it left and right, and you kind of give him the lip service. Well, you know, let's see what happens and blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is, at some point, you got to put Roy's pants on and go, Roy, you're asking me to sign off on a fight on a card that is in Floyd's head and nowhere else. Hey, Roy, guess what? You got it, man. You're the second to last fight of the night that exists in Floyd Mayweather's head. Can we get some lunch now? That's how that meeting
goes. Now you're on
roll.
Now you're getting better. This is good.
If I'm Roy Jones and I want to make this fight, and I got an opening with Uncle Dana, and I can get in front of him for a few minutes, when I show up to that meeting, I bring Floyd with me. Okay? I complete the triangle. And I work a deal with Floyd ahead of time. Hey, Floyd, I'm down on my lips. Or, hey, Floyd, I don't have an opponent. Or, hey, Floyd, I've got an idea. But listen, I can get us an opening with Dana. I think I can pitch this, since your people that don't exist and your company that isn't real can't seem to get this done. So you come with me, let me do the talking. Oh, and by the way, in exchange, I get to be on the card too. Dana's probably going to resist that because you're going to whip Connor and I'm going to whip Anderson. But this is the way I'm going to sell it. And for my efforts, you're going to co-sign this and put me in the slot. That's how a normal business deal would be done. Instead, You've got one rocket scientist going into a meeting with a promoter to get a make-believe fight on a make-believe card in a make-believe venue where tickets are in make-believe land. The distributing network does not exist. It doesn't even know it's going to happen. Yeah, sure. Let's do that. Let's take the meeting. I mean, could you imagine? Floyd, Dana, and Roy Jones Jr. all live in a triangle. Hey, Floyd, or hey, Roy, when you're driving out to Dana, swing by and grab Mayweather. You've known him for 20 years. He's 105 pounds. If he doesn't want to get in the car, kidnap the son of a bitch. I mean, how would you ever do that? Could you imagine me, Joel? You know me a long time. Could you imagine me going into a meeting, and if I was advertising the meeting ahead of time with a huge chance that I'm not going to get my way, and then I got to what? I got to come back and tell the public, yeah, I lost? I would never do that. There'd be politics behind it. I would have made those deals ahead of time. I would have had my leverage. Look, Roy, here's your leverage card. Put Floyd in the car with you. Okay, don't give him a choice. Floyd's got nothing to do. Floyd's an idiot.
Hold on, guys.
Tell him you're taking him to Disneyland. He won't know the difference. Okay, walk into Dana's office and be like, yeah, the Ferris wheel's over there, Floyd. First I'm going to speak and you're going to sit there silent. Wouldn't even know the difference. When you leave, you could pat him on the back and be like, hey, Floyd, did you like Disneyland? He'd be like, yeah, Disneyland was great. I didn't know it was in Vegas.
Hey, Fetties, as a convicted felon, I am not a part of kidnapping 105-pound Floyd. Okay, I just want to go on the record there. You're 3 minutes away from the goal line, baby. Keep going. You're picking up steam.
I don't even want to do it. But listen,
you're there, baby. You're there.
I guess I do want some resolution to this just with you, if with nobody else, and you haven't conceded to me. Roy Jones has a meeting with Uncle Dana, okay? A lot of people,
this is good. Now,
a lot of people want to meet.
This is beautiful.
But a lot of people want to get into that meeting. Now, Floyd could get it, but maybe Floyd doesn't know how a telephone works and he couldn't dial. I have no idea why Floyd doesn't have it, but maybe he just doesn't know how a phone works. So let's just accept that, okay? Roy does. Roy got the meeting, and Roy's headed over to the offices. Grab Floyd. You've known him 20 years. Hey, Floyd, you're my boy. We're going to go to lunch. We're going to go to Disneyland. We're going to go see Dana goddamn White. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to get this done today one way or the other. And if it's all a PR stunt, then spin it into PR too. Hey, we went and met with Dana. There was no way to get there. There is no buying out contracts. Boxing isn't that big. There isn't promoters running around. I'm going to buy out your contract. Man, if buying out guys' contracts was a way to do it, Coker and Dana would be buying out contracts and bringing them over. They're not, because they're calculated and smart, and they understand there has to be a bottom line. They understand that their profits must exceed their expenditures. They're not going to go buy out somebody's contract. You're going to grab a guy as cheap as you can get him. You're going to spend all the money that you can, and you're going to do everything to make sure that there's a surplus at the end of it. It's a really tough business.
All right, brother, listen.
I'm a straight rider.
That's Nicky Bone walkout.
Buddy, you just unretired the Nicky Bone for that rant. Congratulations. I didn't think it was going anywhere, but when we kidnapped Floyd and phones are hard.
Man, it is amazing that you can never you turn that music on, but boy, you don't turn it. You know, I wish that people could see you, because every week it's the same thing. When we used to do the Nicky Bones, what is that song called?
Ambitious as a Writer.
Yeah, so I'm sure he'll be suing us. I don't think we have the right to play that song. So while Ambitious as a Writer is getting his paperwork together to send over to Norm at Podcast One, I will tell you this. You turn that on every week. You have no idea how to turn it off. You then throw it in your pocket with it playing, and I haven't figured out if you think the pocket is just going to silence it from these world-sophisticated microphones that we have, or if you think said pocket somehow shuts off the phone itself. I've never come to that conclusion.
Dude, you made a show out of this.
Could you?
Great job.
But could you imagine if Roy Jones put Floyd in the car and said, hey, we're going to Disneyland? Like, at the end of it, he could give him some Mickey ears and a lollipop. Floyd wouldn't know the difference.
Oh, God, I hope they're still listening. This is gold, baby.
Floyd wouldn't have gold. Any idea. He'd be like, I didn't know. Hey, that guy that was taking tickets looked just like Dana White. Oh, and by the way, that guy told me I'm not fighting Connor like everybody else. Thanks for the day, Roy. Now let me get back to running the money team that's never promoted a show and doesn't actually have a company that exists. Hey, what are these things? These are checks? Oh, somebody has to sign the front of it? I've never heard of that. I thought you just signed the back of it.
Then you did it. You did it. I owe you two favors,
brother.
The
show hasn't even begun. I'm one topic in. I got a bunch, but this is going to be the world's longest show because I haven't gotten to anything yet, but I finally got some resolution that you understand that it's embarrassing what Roy's doing. You don't go public with any business venture unless you know you're going to get your way. And secondly, why wouldn't you grab Floyd? I mean, I just put the idea together for you. You've known Floyd 20 years. If Floyd's busy, it doesn't matter. You're Roy Jones Jr. You weigh 215 pounds. That's Floyd Mayweather. He's 3.7 miles up the road and he weighs $1.45. If Roy puts you in the car, you're getting in the car.
Hey, I need Bruce Hooper to make me a meme of Floyd getting a ticket at the carnival from Dana White. That'll be beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, where's Mickey at, Roy? Well, you know, Mickey's hard to find. Here, let's look for him in this office. It's on the second story.
Boom.
Nothing. We're just starting right here. Hey, guys. Get pricing on actual inventory with TrueCar. TrueCar. You can download the app. You can go to the desktop. Get TrueCar. Don't even consider getting a car without it. I don't care if it's a new or if it's a used car. If you're looking for a vehicle, you got to go through TrueCar. All right? There's over 13,000 dealerships in the country that work with TrueCar. When I started with these guys 12 months ago, Joel, there was 9,000. 8 months ago, there was 10,000. 5 months ago, there was there's now 13,000 dealerships that work with these guys. You want to know why? Because you can't sustain if you don't. This is how people want to buy a car. They can go on virtually. They can build a car. Build anything they want. Year, make, model, color, whatever you want to do to a car. Type in your zip code. They will then tell you what people in your area paid for that exact same vehicle. From that point forward, you will work with a TrueCar certified dealer. Brand new cars, or if they're just new to you, most people are saving almost $4,000 off of the MSRP. You know because your ex-wife did it. I know because my buddy TJ McCord did it. We both know because people get a hold of us on social media all the time and thank us. All you have to do with the consumer is use TrueCar. That's it. Tell them this every week, Joel. I love that it saves them time. You've worked in the car business. You can admit when you get a guy in the dealership, you keep him there for as long as you can. You wear him down sometimes. Sometimes a day turns into the next day. If you're working with TrueCar, you're working with a TrueCar certified dealer in a dealership, you know what you're getting before you ever go in there. You go in there, but you're in and out. I don't think you could spend 30 minutes there, and this is what stopping by the espresso machine before you leave. It saves you time. TrueCar.
So far in 2017, Forbes and Podcast One have already launched three highly acclaimed shows. The Interview with Steve Bertone features the business world's most interesting names, like Adam Carolla, Twitter founder Sean Rad, and Hollywood's own Jessica Alba.
So I spent a lot of my childhood in hospital and hospital beds.
Under 30 with Steve Goldblum talks to the movers and shakers, like Nation Builder CEO Jim Gilliam and NFL Big Game winner Martellus Bennett.
Guys are afraid to be themselves because of their marketing deal.
And The List with Art of Charm's Jordan Harbinger.
We'll get behind-the-scenes insight and information that doesn't make the print cut.
Next up, Sports Money with Mike Ozanian talking to team owners, athletes, and industry leaders about the enterprise and money behind supreme athletic competition. Forbes on Podcast One. Not just entertaining, informative. Subscribe now at iTunes and don't forget to rate, review, and share. You're welcome. You're welcome with Jail Sonnen.
Joel, this is where you say something.
Man, I'm just blown away by your rant. Words are hard.
Words are hard. Hey, I like the way you did.
Well, thank you.
That wasn't even it.
It wasn't. That could be it. But listen,
I'll make one final point on this. I will try to make this my final point. I really will. I don't know if I'll succeed because you're right. I am a little bit glued, but I'll try to make this my final point. It wasn't that long ago. There was a sweepstakes going around to fight Roy Jones Jr. I know because I was in that sweepstakes. I was offered a boxing match with him right after I was suspended on a rooftop in Abu Dhabi. The problem is the promoter that offered me that wasn't named Oscar. He wasn't named Don, and he wasn't named Bob, which means he wasn't real in the boxing world. But when that sweepstakes was going around, before it got to me, it was on Rampage. There was some talk about Rampage fighting Roy Jones, and they were even going to, it was like going to change every round. They were going to start out with a boxing round, and then they're going to go to a kickboxing round, and then they're going to finish with an MMA round. There was all this crazy talk. Before that, it was Anderson Silva and Roy Jones. There was all this talk, and there was a lot of want for it. I remember, I really wanted to see Roy Jones and Anderson fight. I knew how it would end, but I wanted to see it. Now those guys are pining, positioning, and begging to be a co-main, to amplify things and make it even worse. They're not going to get it. When you shoot for number two, Joel, you damn sure better get it, because that's not a great goal. Losing, coming in second, jerking a curtain for a 27-year-old Irish kid is embarrassing. It's also the trajectory of the sport. Someday, that 27-year-old Irish kid is going to be pining to jerk the curtain for someone else. It's the way the sport goes. But you don't advertise it. You don't ever tell somebody, I want to be a co-main. You get placed in that spot, and you make the best of it. You don't say, yeah, I'm number two because I positioned and I begged and I politicked and I pleaded to be number two. You just end up there. You act like it was someone else's idea. And when you go into a meeting like that and you can't get your way, you don't advertise it. You go into that meeting. You get you take everybody's temperature. You get a feel for how it's going to go. You then make the decision of, do I go to the media with this? Do I now make it public? Do I attempt to leverage and gain support from the media to influence the promoter? You don't go to everybody and advertise your failure ahead of time. Remember, I don't expect you to respond, because a respect would involve some level of intelligence, and all you have tried to do is hope that that music doesn't keep playing from your pocket and stare at a laptop. Why you have two devices of technology, why you have a laptop and a phone, which are both Apples, which both do the same thing, except the laptop can't actually take a call, but you open it, set it up, plug it in, and do all of that before this show. So I may never know. But why don't you now say something that contributes to today's experience?
Listen, that was pretty good, but when you had the Mickey Mouse ears on Floyd,
he wouldn't know the difference. Hey, Floyd, we're just at Disneyland.
That was a high point. You need to know when to exit, bro.
Oh, really, Roy?
You brought it back around.
We were in Anaheim. It felt like we were in Las Vegas. Shut up, Floyd. You don't know where Anaheim is.
Yeah, you're right, Roy. Thanks for the great day. Can I have some cotton candy?
You killed it, brother.
The money team.
You did good. I'll take all those marbles. You know, I didn't know if you were going to be able to get out there, but like the master that you are, you just stayed on it until you kidnapped and put Mickey Mouse ears on 105-pound Floyd Mayweather.
The money team bringing you another great fight, like the last one we did called, hey, Roy, what are we doing?
Genius.
That guy looked just like Dana White.
Genius.
What do we do now? I mean, how long did I go on that? 40 minutes? I mean, you were
three,
giving
3 days.
Yeah, you were giving me some kind of a countdown. You didn't.
But
prepare,
you were there. You got the.
You didn't prepare anything in the meanwhile between your phone, your laptop, and the notes that you're taking. You even walked out of the room one time.
Yeah, baby.
Bring up stuff that we talked. Bring up Darren Elkins again, man. I thought he did awesome. The problem is we covered it yesterday.
All right, buddy.
What have you got?
Well, there's this big news coming out from Floyd Mayweather's camp.
God, this better be big.
Okay.
I know it's not. I know you're going to disappoint, but go ahead.
Says he wants Connor to sign the paper.
I can't believe I was part of that. Come on, mate. Honestly, you got to have something.
Listen, I've got a rant, but I want to save it. You won the show. You won the battle. I'll save my rant for tomorrow. I'll save my rant for tomorrow. I got a good rant. I concede your genius and my stupidity and buffoonery. You made a show out of nothing. You put Mickey Mouse ears on Floyd Mayweather because he doesn't know how to use a phone. You had big, big points there, brother.
Man, I don't think it was a show about nothing. Did I go a little long? Yeah, sure I did. But listen, I'll just make 2 points. You're right. I could have done it in 2 seconds. First off, there is no paper, Floyd. Done. Put a button on that. And secondly, Roy, don't ever pine to be number two.
On a make-believe card.
Yeah, on a make-believe card. Yeah, but see, now you get it. See, now you see why this is crazy. It's like, hey, man, boxing, we know you guys aren't the smartest bunch. You know, not for nothing. We do understand that, but there's still some rules of politics. You got to have somebody around you. A manager, somebody went to the media to let them know that Roy has this meeting fighting for a number two spot underneath a 27-year-old kid from Ireland on a card that doesn't exist. Somebody had to grab a hold of him and say, let's not go to the media. The media is a very effective tool, and you can leverage it in your favor anytime you're politicking on anything such as this. But when the odds are so greatly stacked against you, go into that meeting, get a little bit organized, and then come out. I can remember when Obama flew somewhere to get us the Olympics. He went there himself. I love the Olympics. I thought, wow, this is great. Yes, they're going to give us the Olympics when the president of the United States showed up. They didn't give us the Olympics. And I couldn't help but think, President Obama, you didn't make that call ahead of time before you got on a plane, went to some other country, represented this nation in the name of sport, which is the last thing you should be doing. But you didn't have that done ahead of time. You didn't have those calls, have those ducks in a row, and then go have your big shining moment. You got to have those things organized. You can't take a double loss. You can't not get your way and then let it be known you didn't get it your way. That's basic politics, and it's also basic business. I don't expect huge things from Roy Jones Jr., but I would think that a manager would grab a hold of him and say, hey, we're going to go to the media at the right time. And the right time is once it looks like this card's made. Joel, you can't get over the fact that the point that I brought up. It's Roy Jones Jr., 200 plus pounds, and he's got a relationship with Floyd. Look, I know you're not just going to pull up to the gym, interrupt a midsection, and get Floyd to jump in a car with you to do something that behooves you. I understand that. But Roy's known him 20 years. Roy's got a great relationship with Floyd. He could roll down there and then just come clean with him. Hey, Floyd, you're trying to get this fight. There's some turmoil on it. Maybe we strengthen your argument with a good co-main event. That's where I come in. This is going to help me more than it is you, but I want to be involved. I've noticed you haven't gained a lot of traction. In exchange for me getting to be part of this, I'm going to set up a meeting, which I've already done. It's actually 20 minutes. I'm going to give the pitch to Dana White. I'm not just going to explain to Dana White how this helps us. I'm going to explain to Dana how this is good for him. I'm going to explain to him how this behooves him and his business and show him the things that we can do for him, not only financially, because he's got a lot of money, but also PR-wise. And if none of those work, I'm going to beg him. I'm going to lay down on my sword. I'm going to say, Dana, I've known you a long time. You're a fan of my sport. I'm a fan of your sport. We really need this. And I'm going to appeal to him on that level. But I'm going to have a 3-point plan. And then I'm going to put the guy in my car that weighs 145 pounds. He's getting in my car come hook or crook.
I'm stuck when he was 105 pounds when he had the Mickey Mouse
ears on.
What's
the difference, man? It's Floyd. If Roy Jones tells you to get in the goddamn car, you're getting in the car. It's still Roy Jones Jr., and you're still Floyd Mayweather.
And put the Mickey Mouse ears on.
Put the ears on him. Hey, man, we're going to lunch. We're going to Disney. We're going to go film a movie. What's it? Man, Floyd doesn't know. He's got $1.2 billion in a portfolio. He's got a company that doesn't exist, a promotion company that's never promoted it. He's not a real guy. He's a knucklehead that can box. So use him as such. He's okay with that. That's what he wants to be used at. Just make sure somebody brings him a check where the front of it is signed. He'll sign the back and take it from there. But if you're Roy, these are the steps that you go through. And if any boxing promoter comes to you and tells you, I'm going to buy out your contact, I'm a boxing promoter. Well, just ask him, what have you promoted? Hey, I love boxing. When's your next show? How about I come to it and sit in the front row? Well, I don't have a show coming up. Well, okay, but just let's go on YouTube. Show me some that you have promoted. Well, I haven't. Don King, Bob Arum, and Oscar De La Hoya have promoted anything that's ever made TV in the last 30 years. Oh, okay, but you are a real guy, and you're able to buy out my contract because I got a big contract. I made $3 million in the last 10 months, so you know my contract and my projections is pretty big. If you're ready to buy it out, could you just show me some kind of a bank statement or something from some kind of financial officer that says that you have the kind of backing to throw this around, or am I getting ran through the hoops here? You got to ask these most basic questions. They're simple and they're basic. And why an MMA guy would want to go to boxing, which is the dirtiest and most corrupt sport ever, corrupt to the point that it now has government oversight. No government entity operating at the discretion of the Attorney General's office, working at the pleasure of the governor, and surviving on taxpayer funds has ever overseen any sport ever. Not baseball, not tennis, not basketball, not football. They would be laughed out of the room, but the sport was so dirty and corrupt, it was faced with two options. It either becomes illegal or the government gets involved. Now you're telling me MMA guys who have lived on easy street with good, straightforward, honest people working in the space for over a couple of decades now want to go to the dirtiest, corruptest, almost non-existent sport there is. Fine, go ahead. Just make sure you're working with somebody named Bob, Don, or Oscar. And if they don't have one of those three names, then you're going to be like me fighting Roy Jones Jr. on the rooftop of a skyscraper in Abu Dhabi, also known as It's Not Happening. You met a charlatan. You met a carny. You met a circus worker. That's what it is. Joel? This is where you bring the microphone to your mouth and say, Chael, you're right. I have nothing to add to this show. You've gone off for 50 minutes and I haven't taken a single note on either one of my electronic devices.
Chael?
Or just lean in and say,
See, there's no reason for that. I mean, you get a little worked up. You pulled it off. You pulled it off. No marbles need to be thrown at the Godfather right now. You did great. I conceded that you made a masterpiece out of cereal and water. Great job, Chael. Whatever you want me to concede to, I concede to. Truthfully, brother, I literally can't get over Floyd with the Mickey Mouse ears on, giving the ticket to Dana White at the circus. That was what...
Floyd wouldn't know the difference. He wouldn't have any idea. He doesn't know Disneyland's in Anaheim. He can't spell Anaheim.
See, he just keeps going.
But I'm just saying, he wouldn't know, man. Hand him a sucker at the end of the day and pat him on his head. Have him go back to that big business called The Money Team.
All right,
oh,
brother.
Oh, they're knee-deep in a stack of paperwork over there at The Money Team, promoting their big fights like the... It's not real, man. And now they've advertised a loss where they were shooting for number two.
Yeah, man. If we, at this point, I'm waving the white flag. You
here's
win.
What we're
going
to do.
Genius.
Listen, we're good, man. I don't mean to throw marbles at you. There's no reason I should be hot at you at all other than you contributed nothing today. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to call Roy Jones Jr. We're going to call Roy right now. We're going to ask him how that meeting went. Right?
Do it.
He could be in the meeting right now. All right, let's get Roy. He could be in the meeting right now. I say, hey, Roy, how's Disneyland? Floyd's over here having an eardrum. Hey, you know those big... Have you been to Disneyland? They have those big, huge turkey legs. I mean, they look like they're 8 pounds. They're just huge. They're like the things that Fred Flintstone used to eat, and they were called like a brontosaurus burger or something. I could picture Floyd walking around with the Mickey ears, holding like one of them those big turkey legs.
Nobody ever answers the phone.
No, he's in a big meeting, man. Get his contract bought out. Oh, thanks, Roy. All right, we got nothing from Roy. We got nothing from...
The Godfather.
Yeah, boy, man, you came up short today.
What, buddy, we didn't even have a ball.
Why do you have two devices, by example, though? You go through the iPhone, which drives me bonkers, and then you set up every single day the laptop. What is it happening
here,
though?
Here, listen.
One for surfing the internet and one is for emails?
Do we want to pull the curtain back? Do you really want to pull the curtain back?
I don't know. Let's go for it.
No, you just don't, brother. Listen.
What do you do on the laptop, though?
I try to find news while we're in this show.
And what do you do on the phone?
Text. Listen, I hate it both, bud. You know what? If I didn't prepare any of this, all we would do is yell and scream at each other. And as fun as that was, I quit cussing. So it's harder to yell and scream at you when I quit cussing. And I found out I'm not very tough. So I can't even bully you no more. So there you go.
Roy really could get him in the car by telling him we're going to Disneyland. I mean, that's what's funny about the whole thing.
As Chael's friend, when he stays on this, oh God, it's so infuriating.
I just want you to picture.
It works. Like, keep going, baby. Keep going.
Roy wouldn't even need to go in the gym and like, hey, Floyd, can I talk to you for a minute? He could just pull up in the car and roll the window down and just like yell through the window. Hey, Floyd, jump in. Why? What's up? What's up, Roy? I'm taking you to Disneyland. Oh, man. I mean, you can just see Floyd jumping in the car, just pumped up. Really? I've always wanted to go to... And then he drives him three miles down the road, opens the front door, walks in. It's like, wow, this is Disneyland? I had no idea.
Man, we're going to do a show in my hometown April 1st, Kankakee, Illinois. And I've wondered what we're going to do. Man, if you could just... I'll just give you a topic. I'll pull a topic out of a hat because I've watched you run on this for an hour. And you made it happen. You're brilliant today. Congratulations.
You know, Tyree's going to fight Deron Wynn next week in a small show in California.
Whoa, that's the short, stocky wrestler.
Thank you for
saying
that.
Just keeps beating everybody.
Right. So I got a hold of Richard Chu last night. And I just said, hey, Tyree Fortune is fighting Deron Wynn. If Tyree beats him, does that impress you? And Rich is like, oh, I'm actually going to that show. I'm like, no. You're not off the hook here. Does that impress you? Because I know he knows who Deron is, you know, because they're really tied in with Zinkin and Bob Cook and the AKA. And he's like, well, I'm going to that show. Now I've really got something to look forward to. Didn't know that was on there. I'm like, No. Does that impress you? Because Deron, that's a tall order. But so is Tyree Fortune. Tyree Fortune is 16-1 for a reason. So I had to stay on him. And finally, Richard's like, yes, that would impress me.
Good. That kid, I'm proud of Tyree. You know, I remember seeing him when you used to train with Tyrell, and he was just a skinny, dopey little kid. Now he's a full-grown monster.
He's 16-1. And he's going to win that fight. He's going to beat Deron. Are you ready for that?
He's
going to beat Deron
Wynn. When is it?
Next Saturday. Hey, you know who they were going to put on that card? They were going to put Ricky on that card against Caldwell. No, I apologize. Against Bunch. Sean Bunch. Remember Sean Bunch out of Edinburgh? Russell Coleman Scott in the final wrestle-off? Do you remember him? Because it's been a few years now. What was that? 2000? That would have been 12. But do you remember him?
Or 7 or 9.
They were going to put Ricky with him, and Ricky's like, yeah, I'm in. And so they told him where he needed to be. And Ricky's like, well, I'm in a different state. Fly me out there. And they're like, well, no, you got to get yourself here. Ricky's like, hey, listen, I'm not barking on the opponent, the short notice, the money, I'm not barking on anything. You got to get me there. That's the standard of the industry. So now I don't know if that fight's going to happen or not. But Richard Chu will be at that show. If Richard Chu's at a show and he's scouting, you got to get to that show.
Let's go.
Well, Ricky doesn't know that. I just got this information.
Well, we'll get him there.
I agree.
We'll get the kid there. I mean, you've already told everybody he's better than Connor. So if all we have to do is drive 9 hours or have you open up your wallet and buy him a ticket, that's what's going to happen.
He can do everything Connor can do, plus he can wrestle. I stand by. I'm not saying he can beat Connor. Connor's too big. I get it. That's not my point. He's that good, though. Ricky Simone is that good. He's the best fighter in Portland, and we got a lot of guys in Portland.
Do you think Roy would put one of those really big, obnoxious hats on Mayweather at Disneyland?
Yeah, one that's like too big for Floyd's head, where it's like coming down and blinding his eyes and he has to like keep pushing it back as he's eating his turkey leg. Yeah, he wouldn't know. He thinks he's at Disneyland right now if you told him it was. He got $1.2 billion in his portfolio of real estate. Oh, commercial or residential, huh? The guy's an idiot. And Roy, listen, if I had that kind of proximity, if I'm Roy Jones Jr., boom, there's the UFC office. Boom, there's Floyd Mayweather's house. You grab them together and you walk in. You then go to the media. You then test the waters and you leverage it that way. You can't go out of order. It's like anything. Going to the media and letting them know this meeting was going to take place. Smart move. But you go to the meeting first. You take the temperature. You make sure the wind's blowing in your direction. Then you make the next calculated move. You can't go out, even if you've got all the pieces together, but you go out of order. Listen, Joel, if it's chocolate chip cookies, okay, you go do everything right, you take them out of the oven, then you put the chocolate chips on. It doesn't work. There's an order. The chocolate chips go in with the butter, with the flour, with the egg, with the oil. They get blended, and then you stick them in the oven. But all the pieces, the order of those pieces also matters. And now, not only have you begged for the first time in history for number two, you failed.
Does Roy make Floyd wear those big, blown up, fake boxing gloves in the meeting and the Mickey Mouse ears?
While eating the 8-pound drumstick. Now, are you now picture? And just picture, like, the ears keep falling down. You know that hat with the ear? Like, they keep, and he has to keep pushing it back. He has to keep, you know, they get him for little
have
kids.
His two, does he have his two obnoxiously large bodyguards next to him?
Oh, yeah. Hey, how about that? Hey, Anderson was working the bodyguard gimmick for a little bit. When I was fighting Anderson, bodyguards on both sides of him. It's like, hey, you're supposed to be the baddest man in the world and you need bodyguards? Like, this is really weird. The whole thing is just weird. Picture
Listen, you know, hold on. I thought of something. Let me.
Those hats.
Does
with
he have the
ears,
big shoes on?
The big floppy shoes.
The big floppy shoes.
I don't think Roy's smart enough to do that. See, if Roy was a smart gypsy, okay, he'd have a trunk full of supplies and he'd put them on Floyd before he ever got him in the car, or at least he'd give it to him before he dropped him off 3 miles away, back at the gym or back at his house. And Floyd could go tell everybody he just spent the day at Disneyland. He wouldn't know the difference. But you know those hats with the ears? It's like one size fits all. So if you bring your kid in and he's not developed enough, like the hat just kind of falls down over your face. That's how I'm picturing Floyd. Like he's having to push it up all the time.
With the floppy shoes.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, this carnival
and the
worker,
drumstick.
This guy looks just like Dana White. He wouldn't know the difference. He's looking outside. He sees nothing but the desert. He's like, so this is California, huh?
Anaheim.
So this is SoCal.
Kankakee.
Always advertise your losses. Be like Roy Jones Jr. Shoot for number two and then don't get it. Until tomorrow, for Joel, I'm Chael P. Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Baby.
I'll chop your finger off now.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
My name is Raven. Professional wrestling superstar, world-class idiot, and raconteur extraordinaire. Join me for my new podcast, The Raven Effect. Every Monday here on the Jericho Network on Podcast One, we'll be covering current events and any and all topics that can be properly bantered. Download and listen to the show on podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on iTunes. Quote The Raven, nevermore.